at home, it's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Booga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 70 of Three in the Box, your underground wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, April 19th, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we dissect game one and two of our 2015 NHL playoffs. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
So, how did you guys this week end up shaking out here? Anything interesting happening?
Well, we all saw a really awesome show.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
You got to see a little bit of Clutch on Thursday.
I think I'm still recouping.
Still a four-day hangover or something like that?
Yeah.
Am I doing the math right?
Three-day
hangover?
Three-day hangover, yeah.
Still a little bent out of shape that big business went down to a two-piece.
I don't know. It's pretty tough to do harmonies when you got one guy singing.
Agreed.
Well, you got the drummer with the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to get guitar, bass harmonies with just a bass player, though.
This is true.
Usually drummers shouldn't sing. You should know that.
No, absolutely not. Unless they're Phil Collins.
Don Henley.
Mick Fleetwood.
I'm not even going to count Ringo, because...
No.
Nope.
Maybe Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees.
I think that's about the short list of.
But you can make the argument that he's not actually a real drummer though. Too.
This is a valid point.
Well, we're sounding really old, actually, talking about the Monkees.
Hey, hey, where are the Monkees?
I'm pretty sure that was like.
That was before any of us were born.
That was like our parents' generation was the Monkees. Yeah. So. Anyway. Yeah. before we get too far into things, I'd just like to remind everyone, follow us on Twitter. We're at Three in the Box. We're following all these games and we're trying to tweet live when possible. And, usually, making jokes at the expense of the, St. Louis Blues.
Unless there's a concert going on game one.
That you bought tickets to, 2 months prior. Yeah. So.
I blame Bettman for scheduling that.
I do too. He must hate Clutch.
Yeah, I think so. That's got to be it. He just hates Minnesotans, I think, in general.
Well, that would be an acceptable answer as well. So, without further ado, let's get into the game. The recap here. The Wild start off this year's Stanley Cup playoffs with a bang, giant road win over the Blues, 4-2. This is the Wild's first game one win since 2003. Their first. Playoff game ever was that game against the Avalanche.
Yeah.
This actually snapped a 7-game losing streak in game ones. This is also just the second playoff win on the road during the Yo era. So a lot of streaks kind of being broken there for the team. There's a big game for Jason Zucker, who had caught his own rebound and buried a beautiful wraparound on Allen.
Awesome.
It was, just you couldn't have asked for a better goal, right, really.
Yeah.
And then you had Matt Dumba's first playoff goal, basically a seeing eye bomb from the top of the circles. And the Wild also had a pair of empty netters, one by Granlund, one by Pominville. The Granlund empty netter, may have actually led to a penalty by Backes as he cross-checked Granny with a. Basically a minute left in the game.
Yeah.
A dirty shot just to, I don't know if he's showing frustration or what, but it was a cheap shot.
Yeah.
Aside from the penalty, do you think Backes should have gotten any supplemental discipline on this? I mean, because this is garbage time penalties where he's, I don't know what other intent there is other than to injure someone.
I agree. I mean, it's garbage time, but that said, this is a series, and it's going to be a longer series here. And really, I don't think that there needs to be any other sort of discipline on this. Just, I mean, yeah, he came across at him. Yeah, I think it was more of him trying to send a message to you know, one of the younger players. And who knows what went on between, you know, who before that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Granny was cross-checking Backus all over the place and
Maybe
slew-footed him a few times.
Maybe
because Granny is, like, the dirtiest player on right? the ice.
That doesn't mean that his mouth doesn't run, though.
Granny, though?
Wasn't it Granny that Colorado went after with the...
He's not a big guy, so it's like, why not gun for the smaller, skilled guy? I mean, it's really, really no different than the Wild used to see with PMB, and
right.
you know, back when he was, you know, before the concussions and stuff, you know.
So, who is the big guy on the Wild that you would go after?
Well, that's Coyle? Not the way other teams go. You know, it's like it's easier to go after the smaller guy because you're not going to get hurt. You know, mm-hmm. You know, they can try to go after like Koivu and then. Koivu will reverse check you, and you're going to be, you know, hurting, you know?
You got Spurgeon, who's a little guy, but he's going to be lined up defensively.
And he usually, he'll deal it out, too, you know?
Yeah.
Granlund...
He just rolls his eyes and gives a smirk.
Right.
And, I mean, I don't know. Kenny, do you think that it deserves... I mean, obviously, it was a dirty play, and yeah, crappy of him to play like that. I call it poor sportsmanship. But I guess I don't know. It wasn't injury causing; it was off the draw.
See, that's the problem. Is and not to interrupt you, Kenny, but the league only does these suspensions and or fines. I don't even think you know. Maybe if it was a fine, I'd be okay with that. But the fact is, the league only looks at it if the other person gets hurt. So just because the other person didn't get hurt doesn't mean it wasn't a cheap shot. Doesn't mean it wasn't a dangerous shot.
Yeah.
You know, it's no different than, you know, Cook last year and the knee on knee. Had Barry not been injured, he probably wouldn't have got a suspension.
But
and that's baloney.
Comparatively, though, those are... I don't think you can compare those hits because...
I'm only comparing them in the sense... that the injury is what causes suspension, not necessarily the plays themselves. Basically, the fact that there was an injury or not an injury
right.
is the only indicator of whether or not there will be suspension.
Well, and that's the thing, is what Cook did last year, sticking the leg out, whether it was intentional or not, or, you know, I mean, I think things just happen in the heat of the moment sometimes, but that can... definitely end a career.
I don't know about career, but
it's a very dirty play.
Oh yeah.
A little cross check off of the face off. I mean, these guys off of the face offs, they tie each other up and do this and that all the time anyways.
Just because they do it all the time doesn't mean it's I think it's not
how the playoffs work.
You're trying to tie the guy up. That's not
but,
a clean hockey play though, you know?
Well, then what are we doing out in front of the net? I mean, the exact same thing.
I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't stop them without being dirty, maybe you don't deserve to be on the freaking ice, you know? So, Kenny.
getting all heated down.
You basically both said everything I was thinking, so I'll let two in the box continue for the time being.
Two in the box.
No... In all honesty, there's been a lot dirtier plays around the league this playoff without any consequences, further consequences either. So, I mean, that's pretty minor compared to some of the other stuff. It's dirty, it's crappy, but I, as far as anything else, supplemental discipline, I don't see it happening. And that's the big thing that's kind of been going around, too, is the league's been kind of looking the other way come playoffs with supplemental punishment and what have you. I mean, we can look at Vancouver, Calgary with their all-out line brawl. We can look at the Subban situation with the slash on right. Stone, and obviously, other than was it Calgary's coach getting fined $50,000? That's been about the only supplemental I've seen so far.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is that I don't legitimately expect the league to do anything.
No.
But they because they haven't been doing anything about this kind of thing, you know, all season long.
But
so they're not going to start doing it now.
No, but you know what? They keep saying that they want to crack down on injuries, and it's the same crap in and crap out all the time. It's right. Like they say they want to do it, and then when you actually get something that is worthy of it, i.e. the Subban hit, which was an obvious two-handed slash across Stone's wrist. Yep. He's got a microfracture. He can't play, and there's no... You know, where are they trying to stop injury at this point when that's obviously not a good enough case for it?
Well, and not only that, but if you do the same dirty thing, let's say Subban slashes a guy like that 20 times, only one time does he actually injure someone. He's not learning a lesson at all that play is not allowed. You know, and he's probably only getting called on it, you know what, five times the way that some of these reffing crews operate, you know?
Yeah. And the refs can't see everything. I mean,
apparently they can barely even see the puck right. At times.
Yeah. It's a little tiny piece of rubber out there.
That's what she said.
And when Dumba is out there shooting the puck, it just flies.
So, okay, well...
You don't see it anyways.
Yeah. Will the Wild be able to survive, you know, the collective refs of the league, their let them play attitude in this series? Are the Wild going to be able to survive that, or are they just going to get grounded into the boards?
I think we need to see some of our bigger guys getting more physical in order for it not to happen. Because if they just keep taking it without dishing any of it back, you're right. They will get grounded down into the ice and they're not going to be able to do anything. They need to start throwing their bodies around just as much as St. Louis is right now.
Well, and I don't know that it is the playoff brand of hockey, basically. You see a little bit more physicalness between the teams. The refs are a little bit more lenient as far as what they call. That said, I mean, teams are also maybe a little bit more careful to make sure they're cleaner hits. There's some dirty stuff that goes on, and that happens around anywhere. I mean, that happens all year long too, and some of that stuff gets overseen. Maybe not as much as in the playoffs, but you know. But letting the teams play, I think that works out to our advantage. I believe that we were weren't we number one or something with the 5-on-5 even strength? I think we
obviously we're good on the PK, but
we're good on the penalty kill, but no, I think we also finished really high. As far as our 5-on-5 play went. So, I think that the Wild can definitely survive it.
See, the problem is with letting them play, you're left with a lot of plays that go uncalled, or penalties that go uncalled.
Yeah.
And unless the refs are actually keeping track of which ones they call and which ones they don't, you stand a much larger chance of screwing one team other than the other.
Agreed.
You know,
you need to call a game, but that's the thing. It's just like an umpire in baseball. You can't have a, 3-foot by 3-foot strike zone for one team and a 2-foot by 2-foot strike zone for the other team. If your strike zone is a little bit wider than the plate, it's got to be a little bit wider than the plate for both teams. Likewise, here in the playoffs, I mean, if you're going to slide a little this way for this team, you got to slide a little that way for the other team. I mean, as long as you're keeping it even and being impartial to things, I think it's okay. Let them play.
Well, the bigger question is do we really want the Wild up on the power play? We've seen their track record this year on it, and it's not that good.
It hasn't been that good.
I believe we did get... we did get a goal in the first game one. Yeah.
So I mean, we had 3 power plays. Yeah. Well, if you don't, not including the garbage ones by Backus and Odd at the end of the game,
right?
you know, so we did have that. You know, I just hate to see, you know, it's one thing if it's lopsided, but if another team is committing penalties and they're not getting called for it, and your team is getting called for penalties and not getting that sort of lenience.
Yeah.
That's when you go, what you have to question the intent of what's happening in front of you.
You know, and I think we saw more of that game too, though, more so in front of the goalies, with the goalie interference calls or non-calls. But, I mean, you know, but going back to your whole point, I mean, how much should they be calling? Should they be letting them just fight it out? Or, you know, are they just going to call everything?
And see, I'd rather it be one way or the other, because then there's it's black and white at that point. And plus, if you're calling that stuff, you're basically laying down the line that there's going to be zero tolerance. And you're going to have a cleaner game. You're going to have less slop, really, is what it comes down to.
Okay, so let's say that tomorrow the state troopers and the local law enforcement all get together and they say, you want to know what? We're cracking down. We're going to have zero tolerance for speeders.
They say that all the time. Don't you read those boards going down the freeway?
Yeah, but that's not distracted driving or anything.
Zero tolerance for texting and driving.
No.
Extra patrols out for texting and driving.
I'm not talking about
that's texting. That's our PSA for the month of April.
I'm talking about...
I want to see the state troopers that are out there just on the texting and driving patrol.
I want to see a state trooper and the local PD get together.
I am not talking about texting. When you drive down the freeway, what speed do you drive?
I don't get how the analogy applies to hockey.
Well, I can't drive 55.
Oh, jeez. Okay, Hagar.
No, but seriously, if the speed limit's 55, most of the time traffic flows along. About 5 or 10 minutes over, or 5 or 10 minutes, 5 or 10 miles an hour over. So going through with that, there's a. I mean, if they were to just say, no, we're not going to do that and take it down a notch and you ride 55, if you go over 55, we're throwing your butt in jail.
Okay. And then people aren't going to drive over 55.
You think so?
Well, if not, they're going to get a ticket. You know, it's that simple.
But you can't catch everybody.
You can, though.
You can?
Yes. In a hockey game, you can. That's why your analogy falls apart.
You can't.
Yes, you can. You can be way more. You can't just go, we're going to let them play it out, because then you're going to have a lot of penalties being called uncalled. Stuff you're seeing right in front of your freaking face.
How many refs are on the ice, though?
There would be two, but you also have three linemen.
Okay.
Two linesmen.
And how many?
During playoffs, you have three.
And how many players do we have? 12 at any given time. Maybe sometimes 13 or 14.
Okay.
Right?
They can catch that. I'm sorry. Letting them play is not a matter of them not being able to see it. At least that's my opinion.
Well, and I'm not saying that either, but what I am saying is that there's a little bit of leniency in rules, and there's a gray area where you can't always decide exactly, you know, if something should be called, if something was intentional. There's always a gray area there. They're humans just the same as us, and they're making a judgment call on the fly.
Okay, you're basically saying because it's impossible to be 100%, they should let it be super lenient, and that's a false comparison right there. You know, it's just, I understand that it won't be 100%. It can't be, but that doesn't mean that you just let them play through this ticky tack stuff, because it's going to be. I just don't see. We don't get that same sort of ticky-tack stuff in the Olympics. And I think a lot of people would look at the Olympics as really great hockey. So I don't know why in our nation or our continent's, you know, premier hockey tournament that we don't strive for the same sort of You know, pure goal, pure hockey, you know?
Maybe that's what you're looking for. I love playoff hockey. A little bit more physicality out there, you know, a little bit more grittiness. I think it makes it more of a man's sport. not to be sexist or anything, but you know, I mean it's kind of like I don't know.
And you're saying that it's not going to be physical, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying take the cheap hits out. It seems very simple to me.
I can agree. Cheap hits are not called for, but I don't think in the playoffs, I don't think that there's that much cheapness.
It depends on the team, I think.
I think some series of cheapness escalates way more than the regular season.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, even though it was a bitter fight last year with the Avs, the Wild and the Avs, I don't feel it was terribly cheap. Aside from like McLeod and Cook, I think those are the two cheap guys. If you want to look at that series, it seemed like a lot of bitterness and anger. But it didn't feel cheap. It didn't feel like, you know, cross-checking the center when you've lost the game with a minute left in the game.
So do you feel that the Wild and the Blues series has been cheap so far?
On one team, yeah.
Yeah? Or has it been that the Wild just don't really dish anything back?
You know, it could be two parts, you know. It could be two parts of that. But personally, I'd rather just keep it clean and have a nice... I'd rather have hockey plays winning the game rather than, you know, cheap shots not being called and then, you know, we never get a power play and then... nothing happens, or they get a power play and we give up, a power play goal. I'd rather not have that dictated, you know. I'd rather have it clean. Honestly, you should strive for no penalties and just a lot of good, solid hockey play. You know, I'm not going there. I'm not watching the game to watch people get cross-checked. And that goes both ways.
I agree.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, cheap hits have no part. But, I mean, the Wild did manage to pull it out, even though, you know, they said that you're saying that, you know, there was some cheapness going on. That's fine. But the Wild were able to do that. So what part of the Wild's game do you think did have the most influence on their success then? Was it their speed then? Their defensiveness maybe? Maybe the puck control or the goaltending? I mean, what would you say was the reason for their success?
Honestly, I think the speed and actually avoiding a lot of the hits or avoiding some of the situations where, you know, the Blues didn't come out and play the physical style I think that they were expecting or that I was expecting to see right off the bat. And I think the Wild definitely took advantage of it. You know, the goaltending was about what you'd expect for the goaltending on either side. But obviously, I mean, with Zucker, with his speed, I mean, I don't think the Blues were expecting him to come out and play like that either. So, I mean, I think that's where it kind of slowed down a little bit in the previous games where they started playing Zucker a little closer and you know, not letting him get those open lanes.
Well, and I think Zucker is really kind of a linchpin of this because he scored with less with barely not even 3 minutes on the game clock.
Right.
So he put... you know, St. Louis on their heels. I think going up early
right from the get-go, yeah.
Early put, you know, it's harder to be physical and grind someone down if you're playing from behind.
Agreed.
You know, you're not worrying, you're not thinking about finishing those checks. You're thinking about getting your hands on the puck so your team can try to score. When it's even, it's easy to grind someone in. But when you're down, it's. You know, you have to get that puck because that puck means more than you finishing your check at that point.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. Is, I mean, the Wild are a three-period team. They can go all three periods without looking tired in the third, and I think that's what's been a big part of their success, especially the last half of the season. I mean, obviously, Dubnyk was a big part of that, but the fact that their stamina went all three periods and not just, you know, play two solid periods and then and then just, you know, dead come third.
Which is basically the Wild team that, you know, if you're a longtime Wild fan, that's what you kind of come to expect is to get the lead early and then hopefully they can hold on. Otherwise, you're just playing defensive all game in the or all third period or second half of the second. And you're just hoping that...
That's if you can get the lead, right.
You know, if you can get the lead, then try to hold on to it. Don't try to increase upon it, you know.
And I guess the point that I saw that I think led to a lot of their success was in the defensive zone. I mean, in the first period, I know Zucker did get us off to a great start, but, I mean, St. Louis was still pressuring. And, but most of their shots weren't even seeing their way all the way to the net, you know?
No.
So defensively, I think they were, you know, blocking the shots, getting in the lanes when, you know, not allowing those cross ice passes. Those are the most dangerous passes is those, cross ice ones that,
right.
You know, when you get a goalie moving side to side, he can't cover the net, you know? Right. So.
Yep. So that's game one.
Yep. A little bit of game two in there, but
For game two, I mean, close but no cigar. The Wild, they had many chances that they basically just left uncapitalized, and then there was also a couple of lineup changes that were also in there. In the end, though, the Wild fell to the Blues 4-1. The game was, I think, a lot closer than what the final score actually shows. But
well, in both games, you know, there was a one goal game in the third period,
right? And an empty netter makes it, you know, look a little bit.
And both ways, actually.
Yeah. You know? Yep. So, but anyways, after taking the first game from the Blues at home on Thursday, I think that the Blues then came out. I think they were being a lot more physical in game two.
No doubt.
And the Wild were also minus Fontaine and Bergenheim. They did bring in Schrader and Cook into the lineup. So, and I mean, really, we were just talking about it. Dubes gave up a couple early goals, and next thing you know, we're clawing our way back, you know, and it's an uphill battle. So, I mean, with the Blues bringing that physical play, do you think the Wild were just simply outmatched? Or, I mean, do you think their speed is enough to be an equalizer still in this series?
Well, you know, I think they're physically outmatched. I don't think any of us will disagree with that.
Yeah, I don't think I can.
However, I do think the speed is an equalizer. I think it was NBC yesterday. They were talking about how, you know, it really the Blues are a cycle in their own offensive zone kind of team, and once they're cycling, they kind of lose track of, you know, oh, there might be a guy cheating towards the line, waiting for a long breakout pass. And the Wild had a few chances like that yesterday, where, you know, basically St. Louis wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. And that I think speed definitely helps us in that sense. You know, it really be, I think the series will end up being a speed versus physical, you know, presence kind of matchup, and that's going to really determine, you know, who can win this game, the series.
Well, St. Louis has their speed too, though. I mean, and I mean, part of it, I mean, Tarasenko,
yeah,
just kind of ripped us a new one on Saturday. I mean, a power play goal and a empty netter or
for the hat trick, right?
And that line, I mean, it was Steen and Shattenkirk on there that just kind of killed him.
And Steen has been, I don't remember. You know, before the podcast started, I think Jive, you were saying Steen, he's always kind of had
Steen and Tarasenko. Yeah. I mean, it's been that combo that has just kind of I think they've always, you know, had some sort of chemistry against the Wild, kind of similar to how we feel about like Bickle with the Blackhawks. Obviously, a little bit more talent on this side,
right,
than what we usually see with Bickle. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what they can even do to slow those guys down. I mean,
and Steen is. It seems like, at least over the last couple of years, he's involved in scoring plays on a regular basis. I think this year he's got 4 assists in 4 games against the Wild. And I think overall in his career it's something like 28 points in 35 games or something like that against the Wild. So he's done very well against the Wild. And plus he has that, I don't want to say instigator, but he can also just kind of get under your skin.
Yeah.
Not that there's not other Blues players that are like that.
Right.
but, you know, between him and Tarasenko, that's a tough line to defend against. And, you know, I don't know what they can do. I think the big thing is you almost need someone fast to go out there and try to match up with Tarasenko.
Holla.
It could be Holla. It doesn't sound like Yo wants to start him, though, so I don't know if we're going to see Holla. Maybe it's, you know, more matchups with Zucker. I don't know.
I mean, do you want to put Zucker out there against Tarasenko? Because that's going to limit Zucker's chances of getting a goal at that point, too.
True.
You know, and if he's going to be one of your guys that you can have cheating a little bit, you're going to want him because he's got the hands, too.
Right.
Well,
I mean, maybe it's just a matter of you need someone who's fast on their on the back check and, you know, just gets back real quick, you know. You know, maybe it's a matchup where, you know, if we have it, if he's on the ice, we try to get Koivu and, you know, his group out there. I don't know.
Well, I mean, one thing that has been hurting both games are face-offs between the two.
I think I've seen a couple of nice face-off wins, though,
from
the Wild.
And you have to keep in mind, we're the road team, so we... Yeah.
This is true.
We have that built-in disadvantage of on the face-off, so...
We'll see how that changes around coming at home, but, I mean, losing some of the face-off draws in the defensive zone is not going to be good for the Wild. I mean, you know, especially when you got guys that are normally winning. Koivu.
And I recall, I think it was in yesterday's game, I think it was, I can't remember who won the draw, but they got the puck, and then it actually wasn't really necessarily a Wild win on the draw, but Stewart coming in from the side, actually.
Coming in hot.
You know, yeah, coming in hot, grabbed it, and I mean, that was it ended up kind of being an offensive zone win, and I mean, he got a nice shot on net.
Yeah, I think that was yesterday.
Yeah, and I mean, that was one of... Yeah, many shots that they had on net yesterday, and I mean, really, I mean, there was no puck luck. I mean, nothing, yeah. Nothing going home. I mean,
we had a couple that were just basically dancing on that goal line right there.
Backus with a save.
Backus had a big one, and then Allen basically saved his own butter there with a puck where he couldn't really see where it was.
The one that took a funny.
Funny bounce out the stanchions.
Either the stanchion or I think Russo was saying possibly the camera hole.
Oh, okay. That could be it too. Yeah, it makes sense.
See, you had all in all these cameras and you're complicating the game.
Just get rid of the cameras.
Yeah.
You can only see it if you're in person. wearing a hat because that's how the way they used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone wore a suit and...
Suit and a hat and you had the dinner club.
Right. I don't even know. You probably could still buy drinks, but it'd probably be like just one or two beer choices.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of another venue we were at recently.
Miller and Miller Lite.
Miller and Miller Lite.
Or Bud and Bud Light.
It might have been before the whole light beer thing.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. You get the banquet beer and, you know.
Champagne and beer?
Yeah, maybe the champagne and beer.
Well, I'm guessing that there's probably grain belt back at the old Met.
Maybe. I don't know.
Probably back then, yeah. Either that or some pig's eye.
Some good old pig's eye. Yeah.
Are they even making pig's eye anymore?
It's been a few years since I've seen any pig's eye.
We gotta see if we can find some pig's eye.
Do we really?
If they're back at home in St. Paul.
We can't just stick to hams?
I think we should try to find some pig's eye, at least like a sixer.
But, back on topic, you know, talking about the pests, right? You know, like Steen.
Yeah. Yeah, the physical play of the Blues is probably best highlighted by Mr. One, Steve Ott, I think. He's basically built his career on being a pest. In game two, I really saw him trying to get under the Wild's skin.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Do you guys think he was successful in getting under their skin? Do you think he's got them going? Or
I don't think so. There was a quote by Dubnyk, I think Russo had, where Dubnyk was basically mocking, because he had a good whack at the back of Ott's legs when Ott was encroaching.
It was more than one good whack. It was a couple of good whacks. No, I love that.
One was like a slap, and then one was like a hack.
Whap!
Where's the Dubnyk quote on it? I think he said the first one was like just a poke.
And see, in my NHL playoffs, that'd be a penalty on Dubnyk. I'd be okay with saying that. But that being said, the funny thing was is Dubnyk said something to the effect of, yeah, he was screaming so loud everyone could hear it. He was basically acting like a baby.
Yeah.
And obviously it's not affecting Dubnyk. I know I saw there's a – I'm pretty sure NBC had it where basically Ott was patting Zucker on the head like a small child.
Oh, right, yep.
You know, so, it seems like there's always one – guy on the opposing team in the playoffs for the Wild. In with the Avs, it was McLeod. With Chicago,
I think that one was a pretty clean series.
Yeah.
I mean, other than
Shaw.
Shaw.
I would say Shaw would be the pest for Chicago. It seems like Ott is just that guy, you know.
Are we blind? Do we not see? Do the Wild have a pest? Do we have somebody
Stewart?
Pestering?
I think Stewart probably runs his mouth.
Stewart might be that guy, yeah.
Yeah. He can back his stuff up pretty well, too, though.
Right.
I mean, offensively, too.
He's not a one-dimensional face puncher, you know?
Right.
Or getting face punched.
Right.
Yeah.
A la Zenon Kanapka.
Yeah.
And I have to agree with you so far to this point, too, Aaron, is that I think the Wild have maintained their composure. With all the physical play and stuff. When I saw the start of the game yesterday, that was yesterday now.
Yeah.
Or maybe a couple days ago. Who knows? It's getting late for our podcast here. But I think that I started to kind of worry because I saw the physicalness that St. Louis was coming out with, and I just know that, you know, the Wild cannot get that physical, and if you get people, you know, you wear people down when you get physical, and if you can get under their skin and get them to make stupid plays, take stupid penalties, that's when
the penalties need to get called for them to take stupid penalties.
Right.
Out of the four penalties, three of them were against the Wild. All four of the penalties were actually just interference calls. And, you know, that goes back to Ott. I mean, he cross-checked Koivu in the back of the neck.
Yeah.
He slashed Brodziak and Cook. And, you know, and then obviously, you know, trash-talking the Schrader. And, you know, Schrader just kind of laughed at him. But
so, you guys, Aaron, you have a brother. Kenny, you had sisters?
I have two sisters.
Two sisters. So tell me, when you were growing up, was it usually the agitator or the retaliator?
Are you asking for parenting advice right now?
No, I'm asking you who would end up getting in trouble.
Usually the retaliator,
yeah. Right? Yeah. Because by that time, that's when the voices start to get raised and the heads start to turn and, yep, you're the one who gets caught.
See, my parents caught on, and then she just punished both of them.
They didn't matter.
So it was the matching penalties, basically.
See, I'd be okay with matching penalties.
So offsetting penalties,
right?
No power plays, but you guys just go have a timeout.
Right. It was a safer call, and no one's getting upset.
Yeah.
Too bad, you know?
Or maybe we just start handing out spankings on the ice, right?
Well, Dubnyk already started to.
That's right. You get a paddle with the goalie stick.
So, speaking of our instigators, you know, with Cook and Schrader coming in for Fontaine and Bergenheim, you know, what was your opinion on Cook and Bergenheim's game? Not Bergenheim, Schrader's games yesterday. And do you think we'll see Fontaine and Bergenheim back in game 3?
I was really hoping to see more physicality out of Cook. He didn't seem like the same Cook that I saw last year in the playoffs, where he was getting into people's faces. He was, you know, playing physical, playing the body. He seemed like he was almost gun shy of getting another suspension.
He's very reticent. I mean, there is one opportunity where he could have. He would have been a clean hit. It would have been an open ice hit, and it probably would have just destroyed whoever it was on the other end. Maybe not destroyed, but you know, it would have been a very good timely hit. And instead, he kind of backed off and skated around.
Yeah, because had he hit him, he would have got suspended for a knee on knee.
But it wasn't. He was lined up, and it was the guy had a puck, so it would have been a clean hit. There would have been no reason not to, but. I see. The thing is Cook isn't—he's not a good enough scorer to survive on that talent alone.
Right.
He needs to have that physical play to make him worth what we need him for. Him just trying to be a scorer—that doesn't do much for me. I mean, it doesn't do. I think Schrader had a good game, a good enough game. He seemed to like he was getting involved in the right plays,
and he was involved, but. Was it not Schrader who had the look at the open net?
Yeah.
And I mean,
but that goes back to puck luck. I mean,
he missed wildly on that, man.
Yeah, but Brodziak does that every other game, and you know, we're not making that a capital offense.
We know what to expect there.
True.
I don't know. I would say that, you know, either of those two, I mean, there's probably a reason. I mean, not that they're, I'm not knocking on their play, because I mean, I honestly think that all of the Wild have contributed to them getting to where they are as of right now. And I mean, Cook, I don't know. I still saw him getting in there, grinding, finding some pucks along the boards. I guess, you know, yeah, I could see, you know, desiring a little bit more physicalness from Cook. I mean, when he is out there. But I think, you know, for the opportunities that were given the both of them, I think they fared well. But I still, I guess Fontaine, we obviously would like back into the lineup. Bergenheim, I liked him in the first game of the series. I mean, yeah. he was an impact player, I actually felt. Do we need him? I don't know.
Yeah, well, the one thing he was offering, I mean, he had 3 hits in that game in only 10 minutes of ice time. So he's out there and still being physical.
Yeah.
Where he needed to be. He didn't really add anything to the score sheet, but you know, sometimes it's not all about that.
No, he was getting on the end boards, and that's where you heard his name called, is when he is, you know, digging the puck loose and creating plays, you know?
And that's so. What we're gonna need against St. Louis. Yeah. So I mean, it would be nice to see him back in the lineup, and you know, healthy and actually in there battling.
Right.
Which is what I was hoping to see more of from Cook. That was kind of a letdown.
And from what Russo was saying, is it sounded like Fontaine got sick. Fontaine is a right-hand shot, I believe.
Yes.
And plays on the PK. So you lose basically a right-hand shot and a PK guy. So that's why Bergenheim ends up getting scratched.
Okay.
Because they needed a right-hand guy and a PK guy. And
I see.
So that's he just got the unlucky draw there. And basically Schrader and Cook come in to replace Fontaine, basically. Hmm. So, yeah.
So what about that kind of crazy save by Dubnyk late in the game? It's not one you normally see in a hockey game.
No, he's going off of the...
Yeah, he was headed off the ice.
For the so we get into the extra attacker and sprawling save thing.
Top of the, I mean, like, he top was of the still, circle.
He was still in pretty good position to make the play. But I think that goes to say for Dubnyk's smarts. I mean, most goalies, when they're heading off, they're just trucking.
Beelining.
Beeline for the bench and trying to get there. He still had the wherewithal to see that they were actually come back out of the zone and come back and make that play.
Right.
But besides that, I don't know. What do you guys feel about Dubnyk so far in the series? I mean,
minus that second Tarasenko goal where he was expecting the pass and basically opened himself right up to Tarasenko.
Yeah, he made a mistake.
You know, and even he said that he screwed up on that one, and that one solely his fault. I think he's been looking pretty good.
No, I don't disagree on that. I think he's looked solid. I don't see any chinks in the armor really at this point. It seems like it's the same Dubes that we've expected. Basically those last few games of the season are just kind of washed away, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I agree. I think his series has been pretty solid so far. Aside from that one Tarasenko goal, like you mentioned there, Kenny, that caught him kind of cheating to the other side,
Yeah, he was expecting the pass.
Ready to make that big play over there. And can you blame the guy? I mean, that look at the angle that was made at. And,
The problem is, I mean, you're coming from a natural goal scorer, though, too, that, I mean, he will take the shot. And I think even Dubes had alluded to that, too, going, I should have known better with him coming down that.
But at the same, really what happened is it was a defensive failure because Dube knew that he had someone coming on the backside. Yep. So had Tarasenko decided to pass it, Dubes would have been exposed there too. So it basically put him at a 50-50, and he got burnt on it is really the way I look at it.
And that's part of what I actually thought was missing from the Wild's game in the second game was where before we had seen them, getting in front of the pucks, blocking a lot of shots, cutting down angles. They weren't able to make passes through. They had to keep everything to the outside. And I think that kind of lacked a little bit in Saturday's game.
Yeah, I mean, I really saw it with Pominville. It seemed like Pominville had a bunch of really bad passes. And Vanek as well also had
Vanek had a horrible game two, think. And that's something that we've kind of come to expect from Vanek. But towards the end of the season, he would look like he was turning around a little bit. And then it's almost like he kind of turtled back into that same thing where it's like not heads-up passes at all. A lot of passes to St. Louis's sticks.
Yeah, but these were also passes that in game one he was connecting with. And when he makes one of those passes and they do connect, you're not always going to be able to make those plays. And yesterday, I think that the pucks just weren't bouncing their way.
Right.
So
All right. So kind of some other playoff news.
Around the league.
Around the league in, I don't know what, 2 minutes maybe? 3 minutes?
30 seconds.
So we talked about the Subban slash on Stone. Yeah. Stone's out with a microfracture right now in his wrist. Dave Cameron kind of pulls a Reggie Dunlop saying, well, you know, if he doesn't get suspended, you know, maybe one of our guys should just slash one of their guys and only get 5 minutes. But, you know, I don't think the league was too thrilled about him saying that in the press conference. Kane scored a goal that shouldn't have been, which is blatantly obvious offside and too many men on the ice, especially when you see the picture of the celebration with six white helmets.
Right.
Well, maybe somebody came out later to help celebrate the goalie skate down.
No, there was no goalie.
Change helmets.
Well, if he would have jumped off the bench, then that should have been a suspension for coming off having.
I don't know if it's a suspension, but it's probably still a penalty.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think you're allowed to leave during play or you know whatever.
Also, with Chicago, Crawford got yanked. Period after period one of game one after allowing 3 goals in.
Well, he was flinching from the pucks. I don't know what was going on with Crawford that
day. Oh, man. Well, then Nashville game two lit him up again.
Yeah.
So Darling ended up playing tonight for Chicago and they won.
Mm.
But I don't foresee Crawford coming back anytime soon right now.
No.
Maybe something happened to him that's, you know, something nagging. Backstrom syndrome.
He's got Backstromitis.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with the exception of Anaheim and Winnipeg, or the Anaheim-Winnipeg series and the Montreal-Ottawa, all those series are really close. I mean, are there any surprises you've seen so far in any of the other series? And even the Montreal-Ottawa, the last two games have gotten overtime.
I'm honestly really surprised to see them down 3-0 at this point. I mean, that's, ouch.
That one hurts.
Yeah. As close as the games have been, they're still on the wrong side.
Yeah.
And now they've got a great big hill to climb up.
Which, I mean, it's been done before.
Oh, yeah.
I guess the one that really surprises me is the Washington Islanders one. Islanders are up right now, 2-1. That'd be the only one that really stands out to me. It's like I go to the Montreal-Ottawa one, and I know I picked Ottawa to go further, but I should have known better. So
that's betting with your heart, right?
It is.
It's you know, sometimes you like to root for the underdog.
They're the Wild of the East.
But you know what? They finished off the season really strong.
Yeah. And,
I mean, just because they're the number 8 playing the number 1, doesn't necessarily make them a bad team.
And they had a hot goalie going in, you know, with the Hamburglar. So, you know, you'd think that maybe things would align, but it's not looking that way right now.
So, yeah, the quick rundown of the other ones, you know, Nashville, Chicago. Chicago's now up 2-1. Anaheim, Winnipeg, Ducks are up 2-0. Any surprises there?
No, not really.
You know, you think Winnipeg is going to take it back on home ice?
I think Winnipeg still has a chance, but I think I picked that one to go to seven games. So I knew Anaheim was going to be tough, though, just because they're Anaheim. And
Especially in Anaheim.
It's not their first rodeo here, no. You know.
Second?
Second rodeo?
Yeah. Not even that either,
no.
Is it? No.
No.
They've been there several times before.
That's in Calgary at the Saddle Dome, I thought. The rodeos?
I don't know. I don't think it's at the Saddle Dome, But you're thinking of the Stampede, the Calgary Stampede.
Oh, yes. I thought that was at the Saddle Dome.
I don't think it is, but what do I know?
So. The Saddle Dome is only called the Saddle Dome because it's shaped like a saddle.
No.
Not because they
No, rodeo. They actually do have rodeos in there.
Well, sure, they have rodeos in a lot of places. They got rodeos in Wyoming, too.
Well, and Texas.
Yep.
Enough about Calgary.
anything else you guys want to talk about in regards to the other series? Officiating? Brad's and Dan's?
And I think we've talked enough about Brad's and Dan's at this point. I don't want to have to even... I'm hoping that they're not officiating any Wild games anytime soon. Yeah. So,
what do you say we get into the game of the week?
Let's do it. So this week's, past week's game of the week was game one, Wild at Blues. That was on Thursday's game. Both Kenny and Jive picked the Wild, and the Wild won, obviously. Kenny had the bonus point of calling the correct amount of total goals with six. That moves Kenny into sole possession of first place yet again with 18 points. Jive's with 16. And me with a lowly 9 points. I don't think I'm clawing back at this point. But I still get to keep on picking the game of the week here, I guess.
So you're saying I got a chance.
Well, if we go all the way and I pick it right every time, but I don't see that happening. Anyway, so I'm picking the game of the week, and I'm picking tomorrow's tilt, game three, Blues at Wild. We'll go and leader, Kenny, who are you picking?
I'm taking the Wild, I think, four total goals. You know, it's going to be their first home game.
So regulation win for the Wild, huh?
I'm going with a regulation win. First home game, even though their home ice hasn't been too great this year, their home ice in the playoffs has always been top-notch. So,
Jive.
I'm going to have to go with the Wild as well. Call me a homer, but, I mean, it's their first game, like you say, at home here. Coming back to the home of the road ice advantage at home ice advantage. I don't know. I just think that the atmosphere and everything's going to be there tomorrow. And, I mean, go Wild. I'm going to call it 6 goals.
Another regulation win, eh?
Maybe. Maybe they'll just stay tied.
Right. They'll end it
3-3.
3-3 after seven overtimes.
Yep.
And say, okay, we'll just have another game three.
Okay.
Okay, and then, since I'm so far behind, I have to pick against these two, so I have to go with the Blues. I'm going with overtime, 7 overtimes.
7 overtimes.
It'll be a five total goals. Blues win in a barn burner. It'll be such a long game that Backstrom will age another 2 years.
Wow.
Okay. I think we've just about done this thing up here. You know, so when I'm not live tweeting Wild games with 3 in the box, that's at 3 in the box on Twitter. You can find me, my personal account, at Aaron3ITB, where I tweet about beer, hockey, music, pinball, other sorts of stuff. Kenny, what do you got to talk about?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at RottenK999, hockey, some pinball, live audio.
Jive.
Yeah, you can find me. I'm on Twitter as well. I'm at Jive Midnight. Peace out.